Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, welcome to the Wild Game Domain. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and we are going to discuss hunting today. We interrupt this broadcast of the Wild Game Domain to bring you a special program called Are You Kidding Me, Governor Cuomo? You must be joking, because your bill has done nothing to make us safer and has only succeeded in weakening the Constitution of the United States. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, former Army sniper, and guess what? Rifle owner. Ooh, scary. I'm a rifle owner. And I'm here with my co-host. He's a gentleman. He's a scholar. More importantly, he's a great American, one of the best chefs I know, Chris Gesualdi. How you
hey,
doing, Chris?
Chad, how are you?
Good, buddy. I'm fired up today for our show. You're listening to us live on Heritage Network. Correction, heritageradionetwork.org. Told you I was all fired up today. So we're going to get off topic a little bit today. Normally we're talking about hunting, wild game, cooking, all those great things, those great endeavors. But I think under the current circumstances this state finds itself, it would be appropriate as a gun owner and the host of a radio show to discuss a little bit about the Second Amendment. Talk about our governor's so-called SAFE Act, which I personally think is a complete travesty to the citizens of New York State, but we'll break that down. Kind of go over the Second Amendment in general, put that to rest, and then talk about our feelings and just kind of discuss the current state of affair in New York when it comes to firearms. Does that seem fair enough, Chris?
Seems fair enough to me.
I'm flipping my pages because as a great American, believe it or not, I haven't even memorized the Second Amendment, as short as it is. You know, first of all, the Constitution of the United States. I know, you know, as Americans, in some ways, I believe we're spoiled. We have a lot of liberties. We have a lot of rights in this country that I think we take for granted. We're not a very old country in the scheme of the world, you know, a couple hundred years, and I think we're already losing our way. That Constitution was written as the people's protection. It was written for us to keep us safe from government, to keep us safe from persecution, to keep us a free people in this country. And when I start to see that Constitution erode, only after 200 and something years, it starts to worry me a bit. I support that Constitution on every level. I'm a libertarian. I'm a constitutionalist. I believe that was the most perfect document ever written on the face of the earth. And if we live by it and we honor it, we'll be better off for it. So I thought we'd start by reading the actual Second Amendment as ratified by the states and authenticated by no other than Thomas Jefferson, the Secretary of State. And it says, "A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the rights of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Beautiful, well-written. And I just want to spend a second discussing it, Chef. First of all, let's not argue about it, because we have something called the Supreme Court in this country, correct? And they are the law of the land. When political groups, when individuals, when organizations don't agree with something, they work it through our judicial system, and it ends up in the Supreme Court, and they rule, and that's it. Recently, the big case was Obamacare. It was said to be unconstitutional. It went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't agree. We now have Obamacare. End of story. If you don't like that, you could bring a case to court and work it through the system to the Supreme Court. It's the same for the Second Amendment. Landmark cases have been fought over regarding this, the interpretation, how it was written, what they meant. And the Supreme Court agrees with gun owners. And what they basically said was, when they mentioned the word people, They are talking about the individual in this country. It's that simple. So Americans have the right to bear arms. The Supreme Court also, in every one of those cases, 2001, 2008, we're not going to beat this up, 2010, also went on to say that the government also has the right to put restrictions on that on gun ownership, reasonable restrictions on gun ownership. So, you know, that has left a little bit up to interpretation, of course, and we find ourselves in this current situation in New York State, which, truthfully, I'm not happy about. In full disclosure, this week, when we thought of this subject matter and thought about doing the show, I contacted eight unnamed anti-gun groups or gun control lobbyist groups. I don't know what they would be called, but you know, they in theory, you know, like this bill, and six of the eight refused to come on the show. Two I didn't hear from. For whatever reason, maybe my show's not big enough. Maybe they think I'm a right-wing nutcase. Maybe they're winning the battle or feel they're winning this battle. So let's not do anything to mess it up. For whatever reason, they refused to come on the show. In full disclosure, I invited two pro-gun groups to come on the show, and they both refused, I guess, again. You know, they're fighting on a bigger stage, or they don't want to discuss it with a guy like me. I might fly off the handle or something. When I think, I could at least speak for myself. I can't speak for you, Chris. I have some, you know, very, very controlled ideas about this bill, the SAFE Act, and where we're going with it. You want to give us an overview of how you feel, Chef? Where are you on this?
See, I think we went really astray in the 80s. And, you know, when we were kids, you would never think about doing things that are happening in today's world. I mean, you did something wrong, you were scared to go home. Your father was going to give you a nice kick in the butt.
Right.
And I think that's what society's missing right now. Accountability. We're afraid to say no to people. Everybody's offended by everything. And I think it needs to go backwards a little bit. I mean, you don't have to beat your children, but your children got to know right and wrong, right? What's right and what's wrong. And there's going to be consequences if you do the wrong thing. Be accountable.
Absolutely. You know, I was
responsible.
Thank you. Responsibility. That's a horrible word, but it's very Republican. And you know, I'm an independent, I'm a libertarian, but you know, this idea of responsibility, personal responsibility, you know, I think we're getting away from that here. You know, the tragedies that have taken place, you know, I could look to personal responsibilities on a lot of levels, and to think that the government is going to make us safe, to me is an utterly ridiculous idea. You know, I was taught growing up, you know, if you hear a knock on the door and the government says, "Hi, it's the government, we're here to help," you should lock that door and run away. The government is not going to help you, even with the best intentions. It's about personal responsibility, caring for yourself, taking care of your family, your community, and it grows from there. After community, we have state. After state, we have country. And if we all had that personal responsibility, I don't think we'd be talking about this. The bottom line for me is we have a violent society. This country was born on violence. We may not like that. We may not want it that way. But that's how we were born. We were born from revolution. We settled the country through violence. Right or wrong, it's not the point. The point is that's the facts. We settled this country through war, violence, firearms. And that is our culture, and it's going to be there forever. And then we have to reflect on that. It's a bigger problem for me, this whole controversy. Is not really about guns. I hate to bring up the old NRA slogan, the gun didn't walk in there and shoot somebody, but the gun didn't walk in there and shoot somebody. There was someone behind it. He was mentally deranged. Let's stop defending him and labeling him and saying he was a murderer. For whatever reason, he took innocent lives, and there is nothing worse on the face of this earth than doing that. You know, and that's where I want to frame this argument. That's what I want to talk about today, this idea that, you know, the government is going to make us safer by regulating us. Never mind the fact that we have this Constitution, I feel has been stepped on. I want to go over some specifics or some ideas about other things that go on in this country that kill or take the lives of innocent people at a higher rate than any AR rifle has ever done. What do you think about that, Chef? Because I did some research. You believe that?
I mean...
Oh, he's got his glasses on, folks. This is getting serious.
You got
now.
Motorcycles that go 200 miles an hour. You got people texting while they're driving.
Right.
I mean, you got people driving these big trucks and they're talking on the phone going around corners.
Right.
I mean, we go back to being, you got to be responsible and, you know, be aware.
Right. So let's break this down on, let's bring it to the lowest level. What was the bill for? What are we trying to do? What was the governor? What was our government of New York State trying to do? Keep people safe. Right. So, you know, my question is, okay, let's keep people safe. Why don't we identify what kills people, first of all? For more people have died in the state in fist fights than by the AR rifle, this horrible, almost mystical weapon that exists in our society. More people have died punching each other in the face, okay, than that AR rifle. So why don't we start there? I looked up, gun violence, trying to find from the FBI, from different organizations, the state data banks, the numbers on gun violence. You could go to 1,000 different outlets and get 1,000 different answers about what the actual numbers. But there are some very solid numbers, and I thought this was interesting. The top five killers of children in this country, you ready? They're not, AR rifle is nowhere on the list. First of all, I think we all know this, motor vehicle accidents. Second, fires. Third, ready for this? Choking. I doubt they're choking on weapon parts or rifle parts when they're choking. Kids are more likely to poison themselves. And in the summer, they are more likely to drown. Gun deaths are nowhere near the top of what's killing our youth in this country. The fact is, guns are safe when used responsibly. I hate to use that word again, but here we go, responsibility.
Did you see that guy last week when he threw that girl on the train tracks?
Right.
I wish she had a gun.
I bet she does too. The thing is, you know, and this was a debate after the horrific, murderous events. Not a tragedy. Stop saying that. For me, it wasn't a tragedy is your brakes fail and you go off a bridge. That's a tragedy. This was a horrific murder spree. It was the most horrible thing I think I've ever seen next to 9/11 and maybe comparable in my life. It was murder on a base level. But, you know, the immediate debates after that is what really aggravated me. It was all political. Immediately, these people started jumping in. The pundits wanted to get their points across. The NRA, in not saying anything, was saying everything. No one wanted an honest discussion about this. But, you know, the bottom line is we got to be real about this and we got to discuss it. We got to have the two sides sit down and figure it out. There is a problem in this country with guns. There is. I admit it. Okay? There is. And it's responsibility and certain people shouldn't have the guns. But to me, the rhetoric that comes along with this argument is not serving anybody. And both sides are to blame. I'm a member of the NRA, and you ready? I'm calling them out. The NRA is partially to blame. These leftist groups that want to just burn every gun or melt down every gun and make peace symbol necklaces, they're to blame. If we could actually get some experts to sit down and agree on something non-political, I think we could go a long way. But it's deeper than that. And we don't have, you know, a week to discuss this or a month. You know, it's the violent society. We got to go into mental health issues and how we deal with that and video gaming and this idea that, you know, violence is everywhere. Our kids are growing up with it. And we got to discuss all that. We got to talk about kids growing up in the inner city who feel they have no outlet except for crime and you know, to put food on their plate, to put sneakers on their feet. I don't want to see any kid growing up in that situation. I didn't have to grow up. For me to sit here and say, oh, they're gang members, they do bad things, I'm not going to judge someone like that or a group of people like that. These kids are trying to provide. I'm not justifying what they're doing in any way. But I'm not here to judge. What I think we need to do as a society, instead of taking guns away from law-abiding citizens, is focus on the real problem, and that's society. But getting back to my point, you know, this idea after the shooting that the NRA finally came out and said, you know, our plan is to put guns in schools. We should have armed security guards. And I thought, wow, they shut their mouths for a couple of weeks, and then they come out with that. And guess what? I agreed with it. to me, if I could get SEAL Team 6 in my kid's elementary school today to stand by the door, I could rest easy today. Outside of that, I'm not resting easy. There are lunatics in the world who are going to get it done with a bat, an AR rifle, a shotgun, a bomb. We can't regulate our way out of this problem. It's not going to work that way. You know, so everyone I talked to, you know, I said, hey, that's a great idea, right? Armed security guards. And this is the response I got. No, guns have no place in the educational system of the United States of America. Okay, but do you realize what just happened? Shouldn't we reevaluate that? And why shouldn't have guns have any place in the educational system here in the United States of America? Well, they just don't. There's no good reason for it. I understand you're opposed to guns, but come up with a reason why there can't be a trained armed guard at every door of every elementary school. Is it sad? Yes, it's very sad. But you know what? My beautiful six-year-old Emma deserves to be protected the way we protect the President of the United States. My beautiful daughter, Madison, 10 years old, deserves the same protection that Congress, the Supreme Court, our national museums get, and they are all guarded with firearms. You mean to tell me we're okay with that, but we won't guard these precious lives in this school from madmen bent on inflicting pain on these families, society in general? I'm not going to listen to that argument. Until we solve all of society's woes, why don't we take the step forward and hire trained police officers, trained security, retired police? There's a million options, and put them in our schools. Don't talk to me about cost. This is the cost of we're talking about saving lives, children's lives. I can't imagine that we wouldn't want to do that. What do you think, Chef?
Right on, brother. You said it.
I'm getting fired up. See?
Right on.
I start going. I get all emotional.
I got four beautiful daughters of my own. I feel the same way.
But listen.
Can you imagine sending your kids to school and they don't come back?
No, I couldn't imagine. There's people in Connecticut.
Not in this country. I'm from Connecticut.
Right.
I live 15 minutes away from Sandy Hook. My nieces and nephews have they're brothers and sisters of some of the ones that were shot.
And, you know, my heart goes out to those families, and this has all been said already, but I'm a realist. If there's anything I could do in a small way, please, I'm still mourning with you, and my pain obviously is not as great as the families and the community up there in Connecticut.
But my question has always been, why has this only been happening just recently?
That's a good question, and we're going to talk about it right after the break. And we're going to take that break, and we'll be right back with Are You Kidding Me? Governor Cuomo, blah, 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 on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You are listening to Top Gun by Tom Cruise on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hey, welcome back to the Wild Game Domain. Not really. Today, we are discussing Governor Cuomo's SAFE Act, as we said. You know, Chef Chris here, my co-host, brought up a big point, and I don't think we have enough time to discuss it, really, the ills of society, and why is this happening, and why... I'm not prepared to discuss that today, because it's too big. You know, Chef said...
Do you want to know why it's happening, though?
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, everybody feels like they're entitled to something, and everybody's got to be a winner. Everybody's a winner when you give 100%. It doesn't mean you got to get a trophy. You really got to get over yourself and maybe take the skirt off little Johnny, and let's get it going.
Yeah, well, it's about, it, you know, to me, again, personal responsibility and being part of society. As a libertarian, you know, live and let live, and respect other people and respect life on that basic level. I mean, this is stuff I learned in kindergarten from my family. And this is stuff, you know, it's a bigger problem than we could address today. So what I thought we'd do, our governor, in all his wisdom, proposed the SAFE Act. I assume with help from other government officials or representatives in New York State government, we really don't know because we were in a race to be the first state to do something, to help. Personally, and if the governor wants to talk to me about this, I would love to hear from him. But I think he wants to be president of the United States and couldn't wait to come out with a bill that's tough on guns, where actually, I think he's done absolutely nothing except, like I said, squash the Second Amendment on some levels, or weaken the squash is a big word. I don't want to get crazy here. He weakened the Second Amendment. So I went to their website, the governor's website here, New York Rising. Love it. You know, so you could go to governor.newyork.gov. Gun reforms, you can find it pretty easily. And he has an outline and frequently asked questions of this bill. And so, you know, the New York SAFE Act, I shouldn't say bill, I should say law, because they passed it without the three-day discussion period. They did it in the middle of the night. And I'm not a conspiracy guy, but why? Again, it was another rush job to try to get something out politically to the people who are not informed about this subject matter. So what I thought we'd do is kind of go point by point here on their frequently asked questions and discuss each one. Does that sound good, Chris?
Sounds great.
All right, first question. What does the law do? The New York SAFE Act is designed to make New York a safer place to live by reducing gun violence through common sense and reasonable reforms. The law respects the right to bear arms and the interest of hunters, sportsmen, and legal owners who use their guns appropriately. The law protects New Yorkers by keeping guns out of the hands of convicted felons and potentially dangerous mental health patients. Okay, we'll get to that. Banning high-capacity magazines and assault weapons. The first part of that, I would actually be on board, but we'll get to that. Stop using the term assault weapons. It does not exist. The AR rifle is a rifle platform. Okay, it was named for Armalite Rifles, the first maker of this military weapon, or this weapon that the military ended up adopting and using. And we'll discuss that in a few minutes. I'll break down the differences between these firearms, because I think a lot of people don't understand them. There's this irrational fear from the propaganda of the assault rifle, At the end of the day, I guess they're all assault rifles. I assault deer with them. But we'll talk about that. The bill also, the act also ensures all gun purchases are subject to a background check. I'm not against that on some levels. Toughening criminal penalties on those who use illegal guns. Well, there's an idea. Why don't we start doing that? That might help. And we could discuss that. So first category they have on the website is assault weapons. Again, the use of this word is just, you know, unnecessary. I own a gun that I use for hunting. Is it an assault weapon? Most guns that are used for hunting are not assault weapons and are not affected by this law. Typically, shotguns and hunting rifles are exempt, as the law specifies military-style assault weapons by design characteristics. So how the thing looks, not by what it does, not by its function of firing a bullet, not by its velocity, not by its knockdown power, not by all the things that a military person would actually measure. It's based on what it looks like. This is how our government decided to ban certain weapons. For example, any pump, lever, or bolt-action shotgun or rifle cannot be an assault weapon. To confirm that your rifle is not an assault weapon, blah, blah, blah. They have this whole list. They actually gave us pictures because apparently gun owners don't know the names of certain weapons. So they gave you pictures of what the gun should look like.
But if you did that to a person, it's discrimination or racism, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This person looks dangerous. Look at them. They're wearing a hoodie. Their hood's up. They got a black knit cap. I am describing my engineer and producer, Jack, as I look through the glass. He looks dangerous to me. He should be restricted. We should register him.
Why is he hiding back there? I'm a little scared myself.
Right. Right. What's he up to? No, he's a peaceful, wonderful man who does a great job. We can't judge the book by its cover. So that brings up the point. What is an AR rifle? Okay. First of all, again, it's about caliber. It's about velocity. It's about speed. And it's about how this weapon functions. The reason the military adopted this weapon was, first of all, it was cheap. Okay, Armalite underbid everyone and got the contract to build our military rifles. The second reason they got this rifle, it's a light rifle. Infantrymen could slap it on their back and march for miles and miles into bad guy territory and not get tired. The third reason the military adopted this rifle is because it doesn't break down. It's a very resilient weapon. You could drop it in mud, water, dirt. It needs minimal maintenance to keep it firing. It is actually a small, very small caliber bullet. In the scheme of things, it is about half the size of my typical hunting rifle as far as bullet diameter, width, weight. It's a 55 grain bullet. It's practically a 22 rifle, a plinker that my son uses. What makes it deadly? Military training. Military training is what makes it a killing machine, not the fact that I could hand this rifle to anybody and you would automatically become a killer or capable of killing more people. Sure, the weapon does take an ammunition clip, and that's why I said earlier, Chris, I'm okay with restricting the size of the magazine that you could use in this weapon. I'm okay, but we're going to get to that too, because they messed that one up too.
I mean, you can make a bomb with a cell phone and fertilizer.
Absolutely.
Are we going to get rid of everything?
No.
It sounds like Cuomo wrote that bill with like Madonna and Sean Penn or something.
No, because where's it end? That's true. I don't even think they would do a better job than the governor did. But, you know, we should get rid of cars. We should get rid of alcohol. Oh, wait, we already tried getting rid of alcohol once prohibition. That didn't work. No one listened. And that's where we are now, basically, with this gun law act, whatever you want to call it. Just some other questions, and we obviously don't have time for all of these. No discussion of handguns or very little restrictions on handguns, and truthfully, most people are assaulted or killed or murdered with handguns, not as dramatically as with the AR rifle, but again, something we didn't address too much in this bill. I have an assault weapon. Do I have to give it up? First of all, no one has assault weapons. They have AR rifles. No. Straight. No, you do not. If you have an assault weapon, you can register it with the state police. You have until April 15th to register your weapon. A form will be made available on the website no later than April 15th, 2013. Under state and federal law, some people are not allowed to possess a weapon, such as convicted felons, individuals who have been involuntarily committed, crazy people, or individuals currently under an order of protection. These people will not be able to register. There is no fee for registering. All right. First of all, what's the point of the registry? I'm going to tell you straight up. Okay? Because they don't know who owns weapons, and that's the way it's supposed to be. They don't know who owns rifles. They want a list of these people. So after the next tragedy that we will do absolutely nothing to prevent, and this act does nothing to prevent, they will come to your house and knock on your door and confiscate your weapon. That is the only reason. This idea that we are going to tie in the mental health, community, the mental health doctors with this list is absolutely ridiculous. If a doctor has someone who is a danger to themselves or to the community at large, that doctor has a responsibility to report him to the police. The police can take him into custody. The police can talk to him and find out if he has firearms or dangerous implements. This idea that the state needs a registry of weapons is mind-boggling to me.
Nobody knows how to connect the dots anymore. You saw that guy a couple of weeks ago when he just got out of jail. He lit his house on fire, lured the fire department there, and then he shot
them. He was a felon,
I believe. Should have never been out.
should have never been. This is, again, a societal issue. We could go into the courts and punishing people and jailing people, but we don't. But just real quick, because we are running out of time, I want to drop to the bottom here. I thought we'd have more time, but, you know, time gets away from you. What changes? So, and then it says crimes on the bottom. What are the changes in the law? Because you brought up an interesting point. That recently happened after the Connecticut shooting. This guy lured our first responders in and shot them. That is murder. We already have a law about it. That is, you know, premeditated murder. That guy should be locked away for life. But what are the changes in the law?
Not locked away for life. Shot on the spot.
We could argue that. I personally...
Why waste more tax money?
I get that. And I'm personally... You know, not opposed to discussing that, but to me, that's something different. You want the death penalty? I'm not sure I do, but I still love you. I'm a libertarian. Because here, what changes in the law have come to crimes performed with illegal guns? Murdering a first responder who is engaged in his or her duties will become a Class A1 felony. Murder wasn't a Class A1 felony to begin with. We have to put it on. We got to put these guys on the same list. A life is a life. I don't care if it's a bum, a homeless person, as they say, me, my family, a first responder, the president of the United States. It's murder. Nothing is more serious than murder. So just the fact that we live in a state where, you know, we got to toughen murder laws. Are you kidding me? This is part of the problem. Possessing a firearm on school grounds or a school bus will be increased from a misdemeanor to a Class E felony. You mean to tell me it wasn't a felony to begin with? This is where we should be focusing, on actually enforcing the laws that we have on the books already.
You'll get in more trouble stealing candy at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bigger crime.
Yep. Because we have judges that are sitting on and judging people as far as where they came from. If you break the law, you should go to jail on some levels. We don't prosecute. And the last thing I really want to discuss, because we're out of time, I'd love to go on and on, guys, but this idea of background checks. I'm against the registry. I'm not against background checks. There was a loophole in our law. You go into a gun store in this country, you have to go through a federal background check. And it's an instant check. It takes a few minutes. It comes back, and you're not a felon. You get to buy that rifle. The loophole came from private sales. If I sold a gun to someone, it was not my responsibility to perform a background check, know that person. I put an ad in the newspaper selling my rifle. They could come to my house. I could legally sell it to them, shake hands, goodbye, no paperwork. So the one thing I think the governor did here by kind of tightening up the background checks on these people or on gun sales is going to help us a little bit. The bottom line, though, is that there are so many points in this bill I wish we had time to go over. You know, talking about the magazines, they changed the law on the magazines. Since the federal assault weapons ban in 1994, it has been illegal in New York to buy, for any gun, a detachable magazine manufactured after the law took effect. So 1994. As long as it was made before 1994, apparently it doesn't kill people. That can contain more than 10 rounds. So if it's built after 1994, you were legally allowed to buy a 10-round magazine. This law does not change that. Starting April 15, 2013, only magazines that contain 7 rounds or less will be sold in New York, including permanently modified magazines. Okay, here's the funny part.
Can you go to another state and get them now, like they do with cigarettes?
You know what? I don't know what the federal law is about transporting. I guess if you transported it across the border, you'd be breaking the law bringing it in. But yeah, they sell it in other places.
No, like another state, like Pennsylvania or something.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you keep it in Pennsylvania, you could buy whatever you want. There was just a case about ammunition sales there. They didn't want to. Pennsylvania, a couple of stores, I think Dick's, was trying to stop sales to New Jersey residents, and they went to court and won. But wait, we're almost done here. I just want to talk about this. What if I have a magazine that can contain more than 10 rounds? You can permanently modify the magazine so that it holds no more than 10 rounds, responsibly discard it, or sell it to a dealer or an out-of-state purchaser. basically what the law is telling you now is if you have a magazine, just don't put more than 7 rounds in it. You'll be okay. The murderous animals, savages that go and do these things, these mass shootings, murder in general, are not going to follow that rule. I'm going to follow the rule. I'm a law-abiding citizen, so I will follow it. I don't know, Chef. It's all very depressing to me. What do you think? Anything else to add here?
No, I think I've said enough for one day.
I need this country. No matter what side you're on, fight for your rights. Fight. I respect you. To all the organizations, if you're listening, the ones I reached out to, good luck. Fight for what you believe in. That's what makes this country great. That's, you know, and respect the Constitution no matter what you believe. We were, the chef and I, the last thing I want to say, we were talking about flag burning. I love my country. I served the military. No deeper respect for the men who came before me who really kept us safe. The guys serving now, I can't say enough about these brave men. So to me, that flag represents them. It represents this country, everything we stand for, the good we've done around the world. And so burning it is something I would never even consider, and something I find extremely offensive. But having said that, I believe you have the right. If someone was burning a flag right outside our studio now, I would give them a dirty look and walk past them and say, God bless America.
I'd say go back to where you came from.
There you go. Chef's not as lenient as me. But I'm sorry to say, that's all the time we have. I would like to thank my main man, Jack, for sitting in that little room over there looking dangerous like an AR rifle. He engineered and produced today's show. I would also like to thank my co-host, Chris, for being a great American. We will be back next Tuesday at 11 with a brand new episode of The Wild Game Domain, From the Hunt to the Hearth, on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Thank you. Goodbye, America.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.